Welcome, everyone, to the Veterans News Hour with David Corey and Richard Hurley, a national news and talk program dedicated to military veterans issues. And now, your hosts, David Corey and Richard Hurley.
Good evening. Welcome to the Veterans News Hour for Monday, July the 20th, 2020. This is Air Force veteran David Corey. My co-host Richard Hurley is called away on some business this evening. He's doing a lot of preparation to help some veterans fighting the VA this week, so we'll miss his presence, but he'll be back next week. Thank all of you for joining us this evening, and hope you all are doing well and coping and staying healthy and persevering through these very difficult COVID-19 times. I'd like to remind everyone that this is a call-in show that welcomes your views, your comments, and questions. So call us anytime during the show. The nationwide toll-free number is 1-888-627-6008. Again, nationwide toll-free call-in number is 1-888-627-6008. Our special guest this evening is Mr. Joe Marino, the executive director of a nonprofit organization called Veterans Florida. Joe Marino is a West Point graduate and former U.S. Army officer. During his active duty service in the Army, he was a commissioned Air Defense Artillery officer. Following his military service, Joe spent 8 years working for the state of Florida in various capacities. Joe has been active in Florida legislative policy regarding military veteran and defense economic development issues since 2002. From 2002 to 2006, he also worked as a legislative analyst on the Florida House of Representatives Military and Veterans Affairs Committee. From 2006 to 2008, he was Deputy Legislative Affairs Director for the Florida Department of Veterans Affairs, advocating for veterans issues and the departmental budget. From 2008 to 2010, he was the governor's office liaison to the state military's installations and communities. And prior to his time with the state of Florida, he was a recruiter assisting separating military officers find employment with Fortune 500 companies. He founded a trade association in 2010 for Florida defense businesses, working to improve their business climate in Florida and to connect defense businesses for opportunities all across this great state. So let's welcome Joe Marino to the Veterans News Hour. How are you, Joe?
Great. Thank you. Thank you for that introduction, and thanks for having me on this evening.
Well, it's our privilege that you can join us. Thank you so much. Let me start, Joe, by asking you to provide our listeners with an overview of the purpose and the mission of Veterans Florida.
Certainly. Veterans Florida was created in 2014 under the Florida GI Bill. That particular bill did certain things, expanding educational access, waiving Florida residency for tuition purposes, pretty much before the feds did. So Florida's always been a leader in how they seek to assist veterans that are here in the state. And part of that bill was really creating an economic opportunity organization called Florida Is for Veterans. We DBA named it to Veterans Florida so that it fits in line with other state public-private partnerships like Space Florida, Enterprise Florida, Visit Florida, and We Are Veterans Florida. So we were created to provide assistance to veterans who are seeking careers in the state, as well as to know what careers are available in the state. We also provide assistance to employers to help them understand what veterans bring to the table, both hard skills and soft skills. And we also provide consultation, very, very light consultation. I use that word very, very broadly in terms of how a veteran's skills are going to translate to what that employer is looking for. Because a veteran's resume might not always say all the right keywords or all the right acronyms or all the right certifications, but we can take a look at their resume and say, look, employer, this is a good veteran for you. So we assist employers in that way as well.
I see. Now, I understand you have a career services program that helps veterans actually create their resumes, for instance. Is that correct?
Yes, we will provide one-on-one assistance to work with the veteran. We've got resume writing guides. We've got a team of veterans on staff that will work one-on-one with each veteran who contacts us. And whether they submit a resume or not, we will work with them to build out that competitive resume to really get noticed by the human resource professional. Because that's really the first gate is getting through that automated system and getting through that human resource professional who might not be familiar with military service and help get that veteran into that first interview.
Yeah, I understand that. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
I understand that, you know, in today's world, that so much of the application starts with just an online resume, online application. So having, you know, the keywords and translating, as you say, the military job skills into something that applies to a civilian job is a real showstopper. It's very important. So I think veterans need to recognize that. It's great that your organization provides that service. I understand there's also a recruiting assistance to employers, and also employers might be eligible for a workforce training grant of some sort. Can you tell us about that?
Certainly. So the workforce training grant provides reimbursement for employers who train new or existing veteran employees in their industry. Really, our part of our mission is to build Florida's workforce of the future. And by using the resources that employers have at their disposal and encouraging them to uptrain their staff, especially if they're veterans, is not only going to help that employer in the future, but it's also going to help that veteran in the future by gaining industry-specific skills, getting all those certifications and those acronyms that are going to be necessary to be successful in their industry. So that's the goal of the workforce grant, is to not only assist the employers building their next workforce, but to also train a skilled veteran workforce within the state.
I see. Now, does that workforce training grant, I think you had mentioned that it's, you know, looking towards the future of Florida and, you know, the economic situation. Are those workforce training grants limited to or applicable to particular types of fields or industries or jobs?
Yes, actually, we have a charter to provide preferred treatment for employers who are in what are called Florida's targeted industries, such as aerospace, advanced manufacturing, logistics, headquarters services. So while we are able to sign up employers who are not specifically in those industries, our statute asks us to prioritize the employers that are in those, because as this is also part of Florida's overall diversification of the economy. As you know, tourism and agriculture are typically one and two top industries in the state, and then defense is third, sometimes second behind it. And so we want veterans to be part of Florida's continuing diversification of the economy.
Oh, that's great. And you mentioned aerospace right up there. I know I'm a native Floridian, very proud of my home state. Florida, as most of our listeners should know, is home to the Kennedy Space Center, Cape Canaveral. And is that sort of a targeted area when you say the aerospace industry? Are there, do you find that employers are really working to boost that aspect of the economy now?
Absolutely, that's a huge part of our focus. is the growth that's occurring along the entire part of I-4. Not to say we don't work in other parts of the state, but there's just a lot of growth that's occurring there in that region. We have a board member who is from the Space Coast on our 9-member board, and so we've tried to make it a focus of our activities moving forward as well.
Yeah, and I would think that would be the reason I mentioned aerospace. I would think that would also be a logical fit for many veterans, you know, particularly those
exactly.
They have served in the Air Force and other branches as well. Can you tell us more about this entrepreneurship program? I was really impressed from what I learned about that, basically to help veterans get the practical knowledge they need to successfully launch and succeed in a business. Can you tell us about that entrepreneurship program?
Certainly. The entrepreneurship program is run through our partner organizations across the state. Throughout the years, we've had partners like University of Central Florida, Florida Gulf Coast University, Florida Atlantic, Tallahassee Community College, Hillsborough Community College, University of West Florida, University of North Florida, and we've also worked with some additional nonprofits that are regional to the Tampa Bay area or Orlando. And what our goal is with that is to meet the veteran where they're at in their business journey. So we have we provide workshops, or rather, our network partners provide workshops through our program. Also provide some startup cohorts for those veterans that are trying to take their idea to a validated business. And those are we try to keep them very small in terms of. So these are more facilitated versus lecture. So our startup cohorts are typically in the 10 to 15 veterans and businesses range. We also have a growth cohort, which is normally 6 to 10 veterans. These are, you're talking about validated businesses that may or may not have some revenue, some employees who are trying to break into that next level for their business. And we've got great partners all across the state that are providing these workshops and these cohorts for veterans. And we've had some really, really interesting businesses come through the program over the last few years.
Oh, that's great. That's such an awesome program, because I see organizations like yours, Veterans Florida, as meeting a need that the VA as a federal government agency is just not equipped to do by itself. And so it's just super to hear that, and I think in the state of Florida, particularly compared to other states, that there definitely is this this mindset of helping people get started. Could you give us some examples of maybe some of the success stories that you've heard of from this entrepreneurship program?
Sure. Participants is American Freedom Distillery out of St. Pete area. They do horse soldier bourbon. So if you're in that part of the state, definitely go check it out. And every time I go to my local shop, I'm always asking, "Do you guys have horse soldier bourbon yet?" So it's kind of hit or miss up here in Tallahassee. But in the Tampa Bay area, it might be a little easier.
Yeah, I'm in the
Bay
Area. Go ahead.
Oh, are you? That's right. That's right. We had one of our entrepreneur winners. We also hold an annual pitch competition, and last year's pitch competition winner, GasUp, they provide sort of an on-demand refueling, on-site refueling. So I'm not sure if their business model's changed, but it's in essence kind of an Uber for gas. You order the gas and they come for subscription. And then this year's pitch competition winner is Premier Virtual, and they do quite appropriate for these days. They do online job fairs, and they've got some really great clients out there, and they're growing their portfolio. And these are veterans right here in Florida that are coming up with these ideas and growing businesses. And when veterans grow businesses, they typically tend to hire other veterans. So that's, right. that's to me, what's really exciting about the entrepreneur program as well.
Yeah, well, that's great. I know your organization's website, it's easy to remember. It's veteransflorida.org. And I'm sure veterans can, or our listeners can go there for more information. But can you basically tell us, if a veteran is listening, says, hey, that entrepreneurship program sounds great, what do I need to do? And what should I know about these partners that you mentioned, these various community colleges and universities spread out across this state? What's kind of the first step that veterans ought to do if they're interested in this?
Well, the first step is actually to go to our website, because once the veteran completes the form, we can find out what stage that they believe their business is in, whether it's in the idea, startup, growth, maturity phase. And then we're gonna call them. We call every veteran, whether they submit a resume for career or if they're interested in entrepreneurship, they're going to get a phone call from us. And so part of that sort of is understanding what stage is your business in. And then based on that, we can look through our catalog of offerings from our network partners across the state and say, okay, well, we've got a startup cohort in your area in Tampa Bay in about a month, and let's keep in touch and let's get you prepared for it. And then from that point, we can forward them on to the network partner. But a veteran can also go in the other way. Usually the network partners are out there promoting the program for participants on their side as well. So if a veteran is online, attached to any of our partners, they can also see on our website who our partners are. So if they're following them on social media, they can probably also get heads up about when there's networking workshops or workshops to fill up the next cohort. So there's a number of different ways. Probably the most direct way as well is to go through our website.
Well, great. Well, thanks, Joe, for that. How is Veterans Florida being affected by the COVID-19 pandemic that we're all going through?
As an organization, it's definitely been an adjustment. We made a decision early on that we were going to be cloud-based in all of our documents and email and all that. So when it did occur, pretty much most of our staff had laptops because we do a lot of traveling. As you know, Florida's a big state,
right?
And we're based out of Tallahassee. So that definitely played in our favor. But it's still a challenge because we have to continue our operations, whether we're in the office or whether we're working from our home office, because there's still a lot of veterans and transitioning service members who are getting out and who need their questions answered and need assistance. So we've basically pushed forward into complete remote working right now. Our offices are open for staff to go in on a very reduced level, and only then, even if they really must. I really prefer folks to stay home. But as far as internal operations, that's how it's affected us. As far as external operations, we have an expo each year in June, and this year, because of COVID, we had to go virtual. And so we took a two-day event and compressed it into a four-hour live stream on June 18th. And we had Matt Eversman, Black Hawk Down veteran. We had Charlinda Scales, Mutt Sauce owner and entrepreneur, Air Force veteran. And we had panels on franchising. We had panels on the new career search. What's it going to look like going forward? So we were able to package that into a four-hour program and live stream it from our YouTube channel. And those videos are still out there for anyone who's interested, and we've chopped them up. We've chopped up the four-hour video into various segments, into a playlist, so people can even see If they're more interested in the career side or the entrepreneur side or both, they can select from that as well. So we had to make a pretty big adjustment to go from a 2-day hotel-based conference to a live stream. So
that's great.
The team came through.
So you got there June 18th. When, as you say, your YouTube channel would be Veterans Florida. I'm assuming just under that name. That's how people can find it, or maybe through your website. Is that how they could find
it? Right. They can find it on our website, and I think it's youtube.com/veteransflorida.org.
Okay. Very good. And also, just to look ahead, since hopefully this pandemic stuff will be in our rearview mirror by then, but Joe, you said this is an annual expo, job expo. So is it June every year? So can we be looking forward to next June there being a live couple-day event, and where is that likely to be?
Yes, we're already working with our venue for next year. It will likely be at the Hilton in Orlando, and it will be a 2-day event. Day one will be focused on career, and day two focused on entrepreneur, and veterans can come and learn both sides, you know, what careers are available in Florida and what entrepreneurial opportunities. One of the things we're going to be making a focus on this year in the world of entrepreneurship is franchising. And so we're going to start building that out. And one of the things I think is great for our expo is having franchises that are available to veterans. Because, you give a veteran an SOP, and they're going to execute.
Absolutely.
And that's really what a franchise is. So we're going to be making a bigger push into that, and the expo is a great opportunity to see those firsthand, what franchises want veterans to own their businesses.
Right, yeah. Yeah, and as we know, not every franchise is going to be equal in terms of viability and having mentors that really know business. I know from when I left active duty, and then returning to civilian life, I really found that it was quite an adjustment, actually, in mindset and also knowledge, practical knowledge, because as we all know, in the military, they provide, I believe, outstanding training for what you need to do and leadership and all these things. But in the civilian world, it's very much an unstructured. A lot of moving parts.
Right.
So, would you agree with that?
I think that's a very fair way of putting it. Yes.
Yeah. So, having an organization like yours, Veterans Florida, I mean, I applaud what you are doing. I think it's great. Now, I understand it's a nonprofit organization. Is it possible that listeners can donate to contribute either financially or in kind services of that nature?
We've sort of made a conscious decision at this point that we do not want to seek individual donations. We tend to go after state grants, federal grants, as well as corporate donors. So we try to solicit corporate donors. Because we don't want to go after the individual donor when we should be trying to serve them, if that makes sense.
I see. I got it. Okay. Well, I just thought I'd ask. So we spotlight a lot of organizations on this show, and some of them, I mean, most of them are nonprofit, but some would benefit from donations. But I appreciate that. Now, I know your time with us is somewhat limited. Before we go, anything else you'd like to share with us that maybe I haven't asked you about? And then also, once again, what would you recommend to listeners about the best way to find out about your organization, how they can actually benefit?
Well, I appreciate it. Yeah, I think the final thing to leave with, there's still a lot of details that we didn't cover today, which is fine. We can do that individually with each veteran. But I think if your listeners can come away with one thing is it's tough. We're in tough times. But the state of Florida does a lot for veterans. So if you're here, if you're living here or want to move here, You know, this is the state that really is the vanguard in proposing, whether it's a state policy, a state regulation, or funding. Florida really leads the way on all that, and you don't really see that all the time in the press, because the folks who are working on veterans issues in the state, you know, they're really not doing it for pats on the back. They're doing it to get it done, and I feel like we fall in that same category. We're just here to get it done. We're just here to help veterans find economic opportunity that they may not have known about, or might not have been able to find without us. So that's our hope. And folks can always go to veteransflorida.org to find out more.
Well, thanks. So I didn't mean to cut you off. I figured your time was somewhat limited. If there was anything else you wanted to tell our listeners, certainly give you that opportunity to do so.
We've covered all the high level stuff. So
I'm very
comfortable. Thank you.
Joe Marino, thank you so much for being with us. Thank you for all that you and members of your organization are doing for veterans. And we hope you'll be our guest again sometime in the future when you have the time.
Thank you very much for having us on. And we look forward to talking and working with you guys in the future. We appreciate it greatly.
Thanks a lot, Joe. Have a good week.
You too. Thank you.
Well, thanks again to our special guest, Mr. Joe Marino, the Executive Director of an organization called Veterans Florida, which is an easy website to remember. It's veteransflorida.org, and I highly recommend that you check them out. If you're a veteran or a friend of a veteran or a family member of a veteran, and you're interested in learning more about the career services, employment services, entrepreneurship programs, and the other big projects of Veterans Florida, check out their website. So thanks again to our guest. Now, I've got some news for you. Some of this is courtesy of the Department of Veterans Affairs, kind of updating you on recent press releases from the VA. And the first that I have is that the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs announced earlier this month its commitment to extend debt relief to veterans who are adversely affected by this COVID-19 pandemic to the end of 2020 by suspending certain debt collection actions. That's important because, unfortunately, some veterans end up actually owing the VA for debts. It might be for an overpayment on compensation. It might be due to a copayment, for instance, on their medical care. Might be some other type of debt, and the VA recognizes the veterans and their beneficiaries are still being greatly affected by the coronavirus, so prompting the extension of this financial release for debts which some veterans owe to the VA. VA Secretary Robert Wilkie said, and I quote, "Veterans and their families should be focused on their health and safety during the pandemic. VA is taking action to give those with pending debts greater flexibility during these challenging times," unquote. So what does this mean? It means that the VA is suspending all actions on veteran debts under the jurisdiction of the U.S. Treasury Department. This includes the suspension of collection action or extending repayment terms on pre-existing VA debts, whichever the veteran prefers. For benefits debts, such as those caused by an overpayment of benefits, veterans should contact the VA Debt Management Center. Let me give you their toll-free number. The VA Debt Management Center is 1-800-827-0848. So veterans that are seeking the suspension of or information regarding a veteran debt, a collection action, for instance, on VA debts, contact the VA Debt Management Center at 1-800-827-0848. For health care debts, there's a separate number. Veterans should contact the Health Resource Center at 1-866-400-1238. That's 1-866-400-1238. Or you can go to the website pay.gov, P-A-Y.gov, for payments. In other news, U.S. Department of Veteran Affairs announced on July 16th that it's allocating an additional $400 million of its coronavirus relief funding to enhance the department's emergency relief response for veterans experiencing or at risk of homelessness during the coronavirus pandemic. The Coronavirus Aid, Relief, and Economic Security Act, which, of course, spells out the acronym CARES Act, allocated $17.2 billion for the Veterans Health Administration, of which $700 million is devoted to expanding services for and addressing the challenges faced by veterans who are homeless or at risk of homelessness. According to VA Secretary Robert Wilkie, and I quote, "The additional allocation of CARES Act funding will support the continuity of care of vulnerable veterans during the COVID-19 pandemic. With this additional funding, VA's Homeless Programs Office can provide more homeless prevention assistance and emergency housing to make it possible for veterans to maintain appropriate physical distancing and to ensure they are living in safe conditions," unquote. The newly allocated funds will be used for the Supportive Services for Veterans Family Program, the SFBF, which is a program that offers several ways to secure housing for veterans experiencing or at risk of homelessness. In total, $602 million of coronavirus relief funding has now been allocated for this program, which will also help the Housing and Urban Development VA Supportive Housing Program place veterans in safe housing to isolate them from the virus. Other coronavirus relief funding devoted to providing emergency shelter and supportive services for veterans includes $88 million for the Grant and Per Diem Program and $10 million for the Health Care for Homeless Veterans Program. For more information, go to va.gov. So if you're homeless or you know someone, a veteran or family that's homeless or at the risk of becoming homeless, and you think there might be VA eligibility, go to va.gov and look for the links on the coronavirus and these programs that I've mentioned. All right. Another item of news this week, and in the general category of helping veterans in need, in addition to the homeless issue, there's also a very fundamental issue, which is access to basic food and sustenance. The VA announced this past week that it is partnering with an organization called Maison, a Jewish Response to Hunger, whose website is Maison, M-A-Z-O-N.org, to improve and ensure veterans have reliable access to food. VA and Maison will work together to distribute information to veterans to increase awareness about the risks associated with food insecurity and share the benefits of programs like Supplemental Nutritional Assistance Program, or SNAP. According to VA Secretary Robert Wilkie, and I quote, "Veterans must have consistent and reliable access to healthy foods in order to thrive by raising awareness of the problem of veterans' food insecurity and executing solutions. This partnership will lead to more veterans having more food on the table." Now, Maison, Jewish Response to Hunger, is a national advocacy organization working to end hunger among people of all religious faiths in the United States and Israel. The organization works to raise awareness about community and government resources to encourage the anti-hunger community to effectively address emerging issues. According to Maison President and CEO Abby Lieben, and I quote, "VA and Maison will use various tactics to help veterans facing food insecurity access available food assistance resources like trainings for VA staff to help them better recognize and respond to veteran food insecurity. These tactics include exploring the creation of a VA pilot program on SNAP outreach for veterans that can be replicated and scaled up, and formalizing target goals for veteran SNAP eligibility screening and application assistance," unquote. Translate, they're trying to make it easier for hungry veterans to cut through the bureaucracy to get the food that they need. That's what it all means. Now, this partnership is being managed by the Veterans Health Administration's Nutrition and Food Services Office, and was facilitated by the VHA, Office of Community Engagement. Partnerships supported by the Office of Community Engagement, such as this one, support the Veteran Health Administration's commitment to deliver patient-driven health care, and I applaud them for that. All right, We want to remind our listeners, again, as I mentioned at the start of the show, this is a call-in show. We welcome your views, your comments, your questions. Give us a call. We'll be here for the next 20 minutes on the air. It's 1-888-627-6008. Again, our nationwide toll-free call-in number, 1-888-627-6008. 1-888-627-6008. Now, in other news from the VA, we know many veterans seeking help getting jobs after they leave the service. And to segue to our guest, Joe Marino, the Executive Director of Veterans Florida this evening, the VA is publicizing a program that they have called the Veterans Employment Services Office, which provides employment readiness assistance and outreach to transitioning service members, veterans, and eligible family members, while advocating the use of special hiring authorities, employment programs, and veteran retention strategies to help the VA become the employer of choice for veterans and their military spouses. Its program includes a number of components, one of which is called VA for Vets, and their website is va4vets.va.gov, and that's spelled out VAFORVETS.VA.gov. Go to the website VA4VETS.VA.gov. Now, that website will tell you how a career working at the VA can help you make a difference in the life of fellow veterans. You can match your experience, your skills, and your training with current federal job opportunities marketed through the Veteran Employment Services Office. Again, the website is va4vets.va.gov. Just one of a number of programs. There's also the Disabled Veterans Affirmative Action Program, and that program supports and promotes the recruitment and hiring of returning injured service members and disabled veterans in order to increase employment outcomes of the veterans with disabilities. They have a nationwide program manager for the Disabled Veterans Affirmative Action Program. Their number, I want to take this down, is 1-202-461-7759. That's the Disabled Veterans Affirmative Action Program. The national program manager is 1-202-461-7759. The VA also provides training and policy guidance on the veterans' preference and special hiring authorities, and provides various services to service members transitioning between work at the VA and service in the National Guard Reserve. And you can call 1-202-461-7759 for that as well. So, again, the VA, as well as private organizations and state and local organizations, are all working to help veterans make the transition from active duty service to civilian life, and that in turn that includes making sure employment, housing, sustenance, etc. Now, as far as education, the VA has a program called Vet Success on Campus, which supports veterans and service members who are transitioning from military to college life. And also it covers a certain qualified dependents. The program has vocational rehabilitation counselors called VSOC, or for Vet Success on Campus counselors, at 104 college campuses across the country. So it's a pretty extensive network. Now, there's two ways to qualify for this program, which is called Vet Success on Campus. Either as a service member or a veteran, you must be eligible for educational assistance under any VA educational program. If you're a dependent of a veteran or a dependent of a service member, then you can be eligible for this program if you're eligible for what's called a FRI scholarship, or if you're eligible for Survivors and Dependents Educational Assistance Program, if you have any GI benefits transferred from a spouse or a parent, or if you're eligible for educational assistance under any GI Bill program. There's resources. There are counselors to help you. They can help you very specifically with vocational testing, career counseling, getting faster access to certain VA benefits while you're attending college. And this is all part of the larger Veteran Readiness and Employment, the VR&E program. So check them out. Again, va.gov is a good starting point. There is a longer website for that, but just start at va.gov and search for careers and employment, and you'll find the Vet Success on Campus program. They have some videos you can watch to learn more about it and what they can do and how you can reach out to them for more information. So, again, there are a lot of resources to help veterans and their family members. VA.gov is a really excellent starting point for that. Now, that's all for the news tonight on veteran issues. I did want to remind our listeners of information we provide on some of our past shows, because these are pending issues. We've had a lot of inquiries recently about the Camp Lejeune water contamination health issues from veterans and family members who are interested in learning more about this issue and what their rights and what their benefits are. So let me take just a few moments before we wrap up tonight and address the Camp Lejeune water contamination issues. We get questions from veterans like, can I get disability compensation benefits from the VA because I served at Camp Lejeune and I got sick and I think it was because of the contaminated drinking water? Well, here's the scoop on that. To be eligible, you have to meet a number of criteria, and those are basically as follows. You must have served at Camp Lejeune or Marine Corps Air Station New River for at least 30 cumulative days between August of 1953 and December of 1987. So that's quite a while in the past. You know, August of 1953 through December 1987, you must have served for at least 30 cumulative days. Now, cumulative, that's the word I don't want to gloss over too quickly. It means basically that, let's say you served for 14 days, and you left, you came back later for another 3 weeks of training. Well, total, when you add those together, you have at least 30, so you would meet that. So they don't have to be consecutive. And I've talked to some veterans that have been in exactly that situation. So you must have served at Camp Lejeune or Marine Corps Air Station New River at least 30 cumulative days between August of 53 and December 87. And also, you didn't receive dishonorable discharge when you separated from the military. Now, what are the covered illnesses or cancers for which the VA regulations will now presume were caused by exposure to contaminants in the drinking water there at Camp Lejeune and Marine Corps Air Station New River, North Carolina? Here's the list of eight. They include adult leukemia, aplastic anemia and other myelodysplastic syndromes, urinary bladder cancer, kidney cancer, liver cancer, multiple myeloma, non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, and Parkinson's disease. So any of those cancers or conditions, illnesses, if you have a diagnosis of one or more of those, and again, you've served at Lejeune or New River Air Station at least 30 days between August of 53 and December 87, the VA will presume that there's a link between your service there and the condition, and therefore you will be eligible for disability compensation. Now, you may ask yourself, well, how much am I entitled to? Is it 100%? How much will it be? Well, if you have an active cancer, normally you will be receiving 100% disability compensation while the cancer is active. If the cancer is no longer active but you are suffering from what the VA calls residual effects, the leftover effects, then you'll be rated depending on the severity of those conditions. And if the conditions worsen, like is typically the case with Parkinson's disease, your ratings may increase. So it's a very important benefit. It's important that we spread the word about the Camp Lejeune water contamination issue. Now, many of you listening may have heard, well, I served at other bases, or you know veterans that served at other bases where they were exposed, or at least they believe they were exposed to contamination. Does the Lejeune rule apply to them? The presumptive rules don't. However, the concept there needs to be explored. The evidence needs to be explored. And there are a lot of organizations out there the website civilianexposure.org is an organization that's done a lot of research and information gathering on issues of contamination, not just at Lejeune, but at bases across the United States and even some overseas bases. So that's important. One follow-up about the Lejeune. What I just talked about was disability compensation, but there's another category of benefits, and that is for health care. There's a separate set of rules, somewhat similar, but a bit different. Veterans and their family members, the disability compensation is just for veterans, but under the category for health care, there is some coverage even for family members. For veterans who served again at Lejeune or Marine Corps Air Station New River for at least 30 cumulative days from August of 53 to December 87, and their family members can get health care benefits. What the VA will do, they'll pay you back for your out-of-pocket health care costs that were related to the treatment of any of 15 listed conditions. Now, notice this list of 15 is a broader list than the list of 8 which are covered for disability compensation. Now, for those of you that want more details, again, go to va.gov and just in the search engine type in Camp Lejeune. But the list of 15 for health benefits is a bit longer. It includes bladder cancer, breast cancer, esophageal cancer, female infertility, hepatic steatosis, kidney cancer, leukemia, lung cancer, miscarriage, multiple myeloma, myelodysplastic syndromes, neurobehavioral effects, non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, renal toxicity, and scleroderma. So that's a list of 15 that was enacted by statute, I think in the year 2012. The shorter list for benefits was enacted by regulations, I think, in 2017. How do you get these benefits as a family member? You'll need to file a claim for disability compensation and provide evidence proving your relationship to a veteran who served on active duty during that time frame at Lejeune or Marine Corps Air Station New River. And also provide medical records that show you have one of the 15 conditions that I mentioned, as well as the date the illness was diagnosed and that you're being treated or have been treated in the past for this. If you want more information, all the particulars and the forms for this, again, go to va.gov and the search engine, type in Camp Lejeune. And, you know, you're dealing with the VA, so there'll be some forms to fill out. When you have the forms, I recommend you talk to a veteran service officer or an accredited attorney or an accredited agent, someone that is knowledgeable about dealing with the VA, its bureaucracy, its forms, and what you can expect. Now, the Camp Lejeune drinking water issue is just an example of the environmental contamination and harm to people. There are organizations that have been working hard, individuals, Jerry Ensminger, for instance, Mike Partain, they've both been guests on our show multiple times over the last few years. So if you're interested in listening to those shows, go to our website, bbsradio.com/the Veterans News Hour. And under our prior shows, look for shows when Mike Partain or Jerry Ensminger were our guests. And they'll offer a lot of insight about the history, but also what's going on now with the Camp Lejeune issue. So it's a big issue, and we're continuing to get a lot of callers during the week about this. Finally, before we get to the show's wrap-up, I want to also highlight the ongoing efforts and applaud the efforts of organizations like Military Veterans Advocacy and Blue Water Navy, as well as the Agent Orange Survivors of Guam, who are working to educate and also change the rules in veterans' favor to deal with exposure to Agent Orange, which was a defoliant used, a herbicide used, many locations, most famously in Vietnam, but also in other locations such as Guam and even some areas of South Korea, but also stored and used even in many stateside locations. And those organizations, again, Military Veterans Advocacy, Agent Orange Survivors of Guam, Blue Water Navy Organization, they've all done a lot to help educate and expand the list, as we've seen in the last year, expanding to the so-called Blue Water Navy Vietnam veterans through case decisions and also legislation through Congress. Again, for more information, you can go to va.gov, and you can also listen to some of our prior archived shows. We've had John Wells, executive director and the chief litigator and lobbyist for Military Veterans Advocacy. Look for shows where John has been our guest, and you'll get a lot of great information about what his organization has done and what John and his group have just demonstrated the power of a small group of people to positively help veterans. And that's what it's all about. That's just another issue which we'll continue to cover in the future. Now, before we wrap up the show tonight, I want to provide you with our weekly reminder to veterans and their families about a very important VA program called Coaching into Care. We highlight this program every week because it is so important, and it's a very valuable program. This program, Coaching into Care, is a VA program. It helps veterans having difficulty transitioning to home life from military service. As many veterans will tell you, and many veterans know quite well, returning home, especially from a combat zone, combat service, can be a tough, tough adjustment. Loved ones can help. Coaching into Care is this VA program that offers free coaching to help family members help their veterans. So give the program a call. There's a toll-free number. Coaching into Care program is 1-888-823-7458. That's 1-888-823-7458. It's Monday. Hours are Monday to Friday, 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Again, VA's Coaching into Care number is 1-888-823-7458. Now, that's a separate program from the crisis line, because when I mentioned that their number, their hours are Monday through Friday, 8 to 8 Eastern time, you might be thinking, well, you know, people are in crisis 24 hours a day. Well, there's a separate Veterans Crisis Line. I'll tell you about that. The Veterans Crisis Line is for veterans who may be suicidal but or in a crisis of any kind of crisis. The U.S. Department of Veteran Affairs has a Veterans Crisis Line to help. They've added more resources in recent years to make sure that they can provide a timely response to calls. Their Veterans Crisis Line toll-free number nationwide is 1-800-273-8255, and then press 1 for the Veterans Crisis Line. That's 1-800-273-8255, and then press 1. As we know, many veterans have tragically committed suicide because they didn't get the help they need, help them get the care they need to cope with their problems. Again, the Veterans Crisis Line can help you. Help the veteran, 1-800-273-8255, and press 1. Well, it's time for us to go this evening. I'd like to again thank our special guest tonight, Mr. Joe Marino, the executive director of a nonprofit organization called Veterans Florida, which is doing great things for veterans and the state of Florida. I'd like to thank him for being our guest. I'd like to thank you all for listening to the Veterans News Hour here on BBS Radio Station 1. I'd like to thank our sponsors, Corey and Hurley Law Group, which represents veterans in VA disability cases across the country. And we'd like to thank our producer at BBS Radio, Mr. Doug Newsom. Hope you'll tune in next week, 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, 5 p.m. Mountain Time, and 4 p.m. Pacific here, bbsradio.com, Station 1, for another edition of the Veterans News Hour. Until then, stay safe, stay healthy. Hope you have a great week.
Thank you for listening to the Veterans News Hour with David Corey and Richard Hurley. We hope you found this week's program very informative. Be sure to invite your friends and all the veterans you know to tune in next week when we'll have another great show on veterans issues. Meanwhile, you can listen to our other recorded episodes on the Veterans News Hour webpage on VBSRadio.com. Thanks again for listening to the Veterans News Hour.